Morning, everybody.
Morning.
So, Marcia and I have our last Sunday with you this weekend, and then we head back. She's going back to the promised land of Texas, and I head off to this little island called Sri Lanka to train pastors from all over Asia on behalf of not just TTI, but Wooddale Church as well. And so I would appreciate prayers for travel, not just for us, but also for all these men and women who are coming from throughout Asia. And some of them are coming from areas where Wooddale, you and I are invested in planting 30,000 churches by the year 2032. So please keep that in mind with your prayers. I'd appreciate that. I'm very thankful to Kyle, and I'm thankful to staff and to the elders, and particularly to you for having us here for this last month. We love this church. I'm just so happy to be connected still as pastor of Kingdom Initiatives, kind of handling the far piece of what we're doing, in particular with TTI. I had hoped I would have a website to share with you today so you could stay in contact with us. My daughter and I are getting ready to launch a podcast on hope and death. And then I'm going to be doing some teaching on developing the mind of Christ. And but I'm trying to do this on my own, and I discovered that as wonderful as everybody says AI is to help you do things, I guess I'm just so below the threshold that even AI can't help me. I just cannot get this website. I get so frustrated. So you can pray that I get that up and running, and Kyle said he would share that with you guys when it's done, so you can participate and join. I'm calling it Following the Path, and I just think you'll benefit, and it'll be a blessing. I want to continue and close our series that we had this month on the mind of Christ, kind of remind you where we've been. The first message, I said that if we're going to have the mind of Christ, we really need to have a right view of who Christ is. And so we went to Colossians chapter 1, and we talked about that. And the second message, I said we need to focus on this miracle of Christ living in us. His supernatural presence is actually in us, not outside of us. And in the third message last weekend, I said, you know, it's kind of like renovating a building. There are some things in our lives that need to go. And we looked at a laundry list of just challenges that believers then and still today wrestle with, whether it's sexual immorality, impurity, filthy speech, malice, anger, rage. Remember that long list if you were with us? Well, today I want to talk about, okay, how do we put this into practice? But before I do that, I want to issue a warning. And the warning comes by way of St. Augustine, who was one of the greatest minds of the church fathers. And wrote so much and did so much that we benefit from today. But early on in his life, he had a real problem with that mind. His mind was ruled by unholy passions and pride. And in fact, when he was younger, he actually wrote down a prayer that he was praying to God, and it went like this, literally, God, make me pure, but not yet. Have you ever prayed or thought something like that in your own life? You know, that desire to say, well, I want to walk with God. I want to be a Christian, but not yet. I want to have my fun first. Well, the warning is this. If you have that attitude, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. You have to want to go all the way with the Lord and totally let him renew and renovate your whole life. As long as you're trying to hang on to something of the past, where you want your foot in the world, and you also want your foot, let's say, in heaven, so to speak, God's just going to respond to that. So with that in mind, though, the next question is, well, a lot of us do want to walk with God. A lot of us would love to have the mind of Christ, literally having his thoughts in our mind and having him in control of our lives. But the reality is, as much as we long for that and desire it, we struggle spiritually. It's like the vision for that is there, the intention is there, but it's like we take a couple steps forward, but then we take a whole bunch of steps backward, and we get discouraged, and we just give up and say, well, I guess I'll never change. And that's because we haven't learned the means or the method of putting the mind of Christ into practice. So what I want to share with you is how you go about doing that. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. So take your Bibles out and join us again, whether you're watching at Edina online or with us here, to Colossians chapter 3. And I just want to read a section of scripture there. And I encourage you to go back and reread the small little letter to Colossians to gain the whole context of what we've been talking about this month. But here's how it starts. Paul's writing, and he says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." He says, "Make allowance for each other's faults." Did you hear that, church? Hear that, husband and wife? Hear that, kids? Hear that, friends? "You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." Paul goes on, he says, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ's rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives." Finally, he says, "Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Now, let me share something else that Augustine wrote as well. He said, "Renew the inner person daily, daily, by lifting your mind, all right, to what is above. For the soul grows like what it gazes upon." Let's just read that last phrase together out loud. "For the soul grows like what it gazes upon." What did Augustine mean by that? Let me just kind of broaden that out just a little bit. In essence, what he's saying is, think about this, what you behold is what you become. What you behold is what you become. What you behold will determine the patterns of thought that occupy your mind on a pretty regular basis. That your life follows, in other words, your life follows what you think about. Or to put it another way, your mindset or what your mind is set on will determine whether you experience true freedom or frustration in your life. Now, I could say amen and we could all go home and meditate on those things, and it could have a profound effect on our lives. So if I want to have the mind of Christ, what I have to do is I have to make a mental shift. I have to begin to think about the things that will allow me to experience as a pattern, as a practice, the mind of Christ. So what I behold is what I become. What my life follows is what I think about. If you were to kind of look over your life this past week, you took the time to kind of write some things down and remember where you've been and what's happened to you and what you've thought about, how did it contribute to having the mind of Christ, or how did it take away from having the mind of Christ? That's a really challenging question, isn't it? No matter whether you're in junior high or high school or college, or you're a young adult, or, you know, midlife, or in your latter years. The mind is such an important part of our lives. In fact, Paul kind of uses a little metaphor here. Last weekend, I talked about, you know, our lives, we have to renovate them, which means you got to demo the bad stuff out and then rebuild it again. He uses here a different kind of illustration of clothing. He says that we need to put on the clothes of Christ, so to speak. We need to clothe our mind with his thoughts. So I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, how can I make this more practical for us? And I thought, this image came to my mind. I want you to imagine for a moment that you go out to mow the lawn in weather like we've had the last couple of days. You go out in your t-shirt, your shorts, and your socks, and your old wrecky tennis shoes, and you spend an hour and a half mowing, and a lot of it's uphill. Imagine that. Imagine how much you would sweat. Can you imagine the specks of grass and dirt on your arms, and especially covering your legs, and then you get a bright idea. Let's say you're married, and you say to your spouse, "Honey, let's go out. Let's go out and have a dinner out together." And she gets really excited because you never take her out. Or you're single and you call your friends and you say, "God, you know, let's all kind of get together and let's go to our favorite place and just hang out." And everybody say, "Yeah, let's do that. That'd be great." And you say, "I'll pick you up and I'll pick you up on the way." And everybody's excited to go. You get done mowing the lawn, you come back in and you just go to your closet and you find a really nice shirt and you just simply put it over that sweaty t-shirt. And then you find a pair of pants that's big enough to go over the shorts you already have on, and you put that on, and then you kind of look down and you decide you shouldn't wear wrecky shoes like that, so you put some nicer tennis shoes over those socks. And your wife is so excited, your friends are so excited, you pick them up and you're driving along, and all of a sudden they go, "Man, something really stinks in here." And they kind of look over at you and all of a sudden they see like a speck of grass here and your hair doesn't look quite right, and they can see the streaks and the sweat perspiration for you women. And they notice that nice shirt that you started out with, like something's bleeding through it. And they ask you, "What, didn't you take a shower?" And you're like, "No." "Well, you changed your clothes?" "Kind of." "What do you mean?" "Well, I just put this over the old stuff." You know, they would tell you to go back home again, wouldn't they? Because you stink. And I hate to say it, but a lot of us, I'll include myself, a lot of us as believers, we stink. We stink because we're trying to put on new Christian behavior over old habits without getting rid of those old habits, without getting rid of those old ways of thinking, those old thought patterns. And, you know, initially it looks good. But, you know, people just need to be around us for a little while and they know we stink. And we know we stink. Am I the only one that experiences that? There have been times I'll tell Marcia, "You know, I start out so well in my devotional life and I get through about half of the day and I start to stink because, you know what, I've put on the right behavior, but I haven't changed the mindset. I'm still, you know, for you techies, I'm still using an old operating system. And it's not working out right." I mentioned to you that our mind, you know, our brains are like computers, right? And our mind is the unseen part of our lives. It's our spirit, small s, that survives after we die, that goes to be with the Lord. Someday we'll have a new body and a new brain. But our brains are computers, and so we are inputting into them all the time according to our circumstances, according to whatever we see and whatever we read and whatever we think about. It affects and creates a pattern, and if you let that pattern go on long enough, then you have what scientists tell us, you develop what's called consent and automation, which simply means your brain expects you to behave, expects a certain response. That's why sometimes you open your mouth and stuff comes out and you go, where did that come from? I can't believe I just said that. Well, your brain got so used to you being that way, it just, boom, said, "Here, let's do it. This is what we always do." And it's hard to change that. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you're looking for an easy 4 or 5 step program, you're not going to find it. I am going to give you some steps, but you've got to do the work. Just like going to the gym and working out, or just like losing weight, or starting a new, you know, hobby, or whatever it is, you've got to put the work in on the front end. But guess what? If you keep at it, it becomes easier. So we're repatterning our thinking. So I want to share with you some steps. Here's the very first step, all right? Step number one. You got to start to recognize the lie or lies that you've been telling yourself or allowing yourself to think about or dwell on. Okay? recognize the lies. What are the toxic thoughts that have become a pattern in your brain because your mind has allowed it to go in there? Either it's stuff you've been letting people tell you, or it's the result of your circumstances you're in. We talked about that last weekend, but what are those lies? I want to share with you what I think are the top five lies that Christians allow to go unchallenged in their minds. The top five lies. Here they are. Here's lie number one. This is just who I am. I can't change. You know, a lot of people think that way. It's just who I am. It's, you know, I was born in these circumstances. This is what happened to me. There's no way I can't change my life. Well, Colossians 3:10 reminds us that we're to put on our new nature and be renewed. The truth is, if you have encountered Christ, you have within you the capacity for a new nature, to have a renewed life. Don't believe that lie that you've been telling yourself or others have been telling you that you can't change, that you'll always be who you are. No, that's not true. You have Christ living in you. Lie number two. If I forgive, they will think they were right. Do you struggle with that one? How many of you are into fairness and justice? Let me see your hands. A lot of us are, aren't we? And it's this whole idea that if I forgive you for something you've done, it's like I'm letting you get away scot-free. That's because we don't understand forgiveness. I am to offer you forgiveness. It is in your hands, though, to repent and receive it. God says that we're to leave the judging and the fairness and the rightness in his hands, because the Bible says that he is a God who will settle all the issues of justice and judgment. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Which is wonderful, because now I can just offer forgiveness all day long and I don't have to carry the burden of being your judge. So I've got to stop telling myself this lie that if I forgive, they will think they were right. They'll get away with it. Colossians 3:13 says, forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. And the Bible says, even while we were still sinners, he died for us. And forgiveness always precedes repentance. So I've got to correct that lie in my mind. Third lie that goes unchallenged in our lives, I have to protect myself, no one else will. I got to protect myself, I got to stand up for myself, I got to be defensive because nobody else is going to do it for me. Well, if you take a compilation of Colossians chapter 3 verses 12 through 14, it says, clothe yourselves. This is putting on, right? Get rid of the old, put on, he says, mercy and kindness and love. You can't have bitterness in the one hand, you can't be defensive in the one hand, you can't be fearful in the one hand and be filled with mercy and kindness and love. You can't. Perfect love casts out what? Do you know that verse? Perfect love casts out fear. If I know how much God loves me and I dwell in the spotlight and in the warmth of that love, I can be kind, I can be merciful, I can be gracious, and I don't have to worry about what you think of me. I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. Number four. Number four says, we lie to ourselves. We say, I'm not spiritual enough. God uses other people. You ever told yourself that lie? I haven't been to seminary. I'm just not spiritual enough. I'm just not godly enough. Therefore, God can't use me. That goes directly against the scriptures. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the message about Christ fill your lives. He says, do it as a representative of the Lord. In other words, Christ lives in you. He lives in me. He's given you gifts and capacities and abilities like he's given to me, and he wants you to use them for his glory and in his name. God can use each one of you. We have to go from being spectators to participators. You've heard that before. Stop lying to yourself and telling yourself that God can't use you. That would mean that God's not in you. And he's in you so he can live through you. Number five. It's not that serious. Everybody struggles with it. It's not that serious. Everybody struggles with it. That is like the worst lie. And you hear it a lot nowadays. You know, everybody's got this issue. Therefore, since so many people have it, and even those people who are Christians, and even some pastors and some authors out there that, you know, are respectable, therefore, since everybody struggles with it, it must be okay. And what we forget is what Paul says to us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. He says, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. I can't live my life by the herd mentality, even the Christian herd mentality. I gotta live my life according to God's truth and what God says. And just because everybody's doing it or everybody's compromising and accepting it, doesn't make it right. The standard is set by God, not by other people. So I can't tell myself those kinds of lies, okay? So sometimes it's almost like you gotta grab your brain, your thoughts, your mind by the collar, you know, and just say, that is a lie. It's a lie. That's how you start to change your thinking. You call it what it is. You tell yourself, the way I've been thinking is a lie. I don't want to think like that anymore. And that takes you to step two. And step two goes like this. Reject the impulse. Reject the impulse. Now, what do I mean by that? If you think something long enough, it becomes an impulse in your life, like an automation in your life. So we've got to learn to speak to it. Like we need to say something like this. That's not who I am. That's my old self talking. Say that out loud with me, please. That's not who I am. That's my old self talking. If you want to, this is called neuroplasticity. If you want to change how you think, you got to talk to yourself. How many of you do talk to yourself, by the way? Everybody does. You've been talking to yourself all morning while I've been up here. I don't even want to see what you've been talking about, but you've been talking about. You've been talking to yourself all day long. So talk to yourself and say, you know, as a follower of Christ, that's not who I am. That lie, that's not who I am. It's just not who I am. That's my old self talking. That's how you begin to put brakes on the impulse. Let me give you some examples. You feel the urge to withhold forgiveness. We talked about that, right? Because they don't deserve it. And maybe they don't. But you reject that impulse that you've created in your life by saying, I'm not defined by what they did. I'm defined by what Christ did. Amen. Now you're starting to change your thinking. You're putting brakes on that impulse. Yeah, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not defined by what they did. I'm defined by what Christ did. Or let's take another example from the lies that we looked at. I'll never overcome this. I've tried before. I'm just never going to overcome my porn addiction. I'm just never going to overcome my bitterness. I'm just not going to overcome whatever it is, right? I've tried it. It doesn't work. That's an impulse, right? So you say to yourself something like, that's not who I am. I'm being renewed. God's not done with me. That stops the impulse. I'm in process. God's not finished with me. I won't be completed till I stand before him in glory. So I'm not going to give up on this. Or let's take a third one. Let's say, everybody else is doing it. It's okay then for me to do it. And when I say everybody else, I mean all those other Christians are doing it. It's okay for me to do it. That's a lie. You got to tell yourself, I'm not judged by that. That's a lie. Say to yourself, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. What matters is what God calls me to do. You put a brake to the impulse. So what I'm telling you is that it's okay to talk to yourself. You just got to talk to yourself according to the truth and not the lies of this world or the lies you've been telling yourself. Which takes us to the third step, which is very simple. And the third step is refocus with truth. Refocus with truth. It's like renovation. Get rid of the old and rebuild with the right things. Clear the shelf, but then put the right thing on the shelf, because if you don't, the enemy is standing by ready to load up the shelf again. So you've got to start to refocus your life on the truth. Replace lies with truth. Let me give you some example. Remember the lie, I'll never change? Replace it with the truth, I'm being renewed as I learn to know my Creator and become like Him. Verse 10, Colossians 3. Lie, I'm not enough. Truth, since God chose me and loves me, I will clothe myself in Christ's character. That's verse 12. Lie, this sin is just part of my personality. Truth, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. So, it's a lie. I'm going to stop the impulse by talking to myself. I'm going to replace it with this truth of what God says about me or what God says about Himself. So here's some example. Step four and some examples I want to give you. Step four, declare your identity in Christ. This is key. This is key. We started this whole series by saying that if you have the mind of Christ, you have to have a right view of who Christ is. So in order to change your mind, you've got to remind yourself of your identity in Christ, because you and I are always in search of identity. The problem is we go to all the wrong places. But as Christians, we say that Christ is our identity, then let's put on that identity. And I have some little sayings here that we can practice that are very biblical, okay? This is not Dale's version of Tony Robbins or Joel Osteen or some, you know, positive kind of guru that's out there. This isn't even me. This is the Word of God that I'm asking you to declare over yourself and to yourself. All right, so let's practice these together. Number one, read it aloud with me with some conviction, please. I am chosen, holy, and dearly loved. Some of you are thinking to yourself, but I'm not. At least I'm not holy. And my response to you is, if you're a born-again believer, you are holy. You've been set apart by God through Christ to Himself. Don't think about your behavior. Think about what He's done for you. By declaring this, you're activating, literally, you're activating your whole mind, your brain, your whole body to realize who you are. And the more you do that, the more you're able to leave behind who you were. So say it with me again. I am chosen, holy, and dearly loved. Do you believe that last phrase? Yes. I have struggled with this most of my life. You've read my old book, Reset, and you kind of know my story. I have always struggled to think that God really loves me just because of my past. It's been a work in progress. I meet lots of Christians who struggle to believe that God loves them for one reason or another. But I'm here to tell you, I don't care what the lie you've been told, the lie you convince yourself of, I'm here to tell you, you are dearly loved by God. All right, number two, let's say it together. I am not my past. I am a new creation in Christ. Notice I'm taking these right from Colossians 3. I'm not making this up. This is coming from God to you and to me. Say it with me again. I am not my past. I am a new creation in Christ. You know, one of the things Satan loves to do, he's called the accuser of the brethren. He loves to accuse us, to remind us of where we screwed up. First, he tempts us to screw up. Then when we do, he puts his foot on our throat and says, ha, there's no hope for you. I am not my past. I am not my past. I am a new creation. Let's do another one. Read it aloud with me, please. I am clothed in compassion, humility, and patience. Some of you are thinking, this guy next to me, this woman next to me, they are not clothed in compassion, humility, and patience. Well, listen. You are in Christ. The reason it's not coming out is why? You're still living in an old pattern. You still got the stinky t-shirt and shorts on. Every day you've got to shed those things and put on who you are in Christ. When we don't do that, the Bible says we are grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit. And so we say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, and we move forward. But I know what happens. Some days you take 3 steps forward, and the next day you take 5 backwards, and what happens is you give up. Well, if you take five backwards, get up and let's take three forward. You keep working at that, changing how you think, and your life will eventually begin to change. Let's do another one. Say it with me. God's peace rules my heart. You say, but it doesn't. I have anxiety in my life. Yeah, I understand. But where does the anxiety come from? By anxious thoughts that become patterns in our lives. So I've got to remind myself that I do have peace in me. It's the issue of, am I going to let it rule in my life? And so you have to practice this until it begins to rule in your life. You know, a lot of this is like going to the gym, let's say. If I drive by the gym every day, is that going to make me more fit? No. If I go and do one workout, am I set for the rest of my life? No. I have to be consistent until finally it happens. And it begins to happen. Let's do another one. Say it with me. The word of Christ lives richly in me. The word of Christ lives richly in me. He does. Capital W, the logos, the word of God, and the word of God. It's in you. You just got to let it out. You just have to let it take over. I think we have one more. Say it with me. I represent Jesus today in everything I do and say. Let's say it again. I represent Jesus today in everything I do and say. Now, if you honestly believe that and you actually start telling yourself that, eventually you will become that. But understand, as I warned you before, you can't say these things and keep an old mindset. You can't say these things and keep listening to lies. You can't say these things and keep beholding things that aren't pure, aren't true, and aren't right. Then you're double-minded, and it doesn't work. So what do you have to do? You have to say, I'm going to stop. I'm going to become really picky about social media and what I see. Because believe it or not, what you see for a split second will occupy the circuitry of your brain. It'll begin to become a pattern. So it's like, I really have to start to limit myself. I have to go against the grain, against the flow of where the world is going. And that's hard work. It's hard work. I got to ask what conversations am I going to be involved in? What jokes am I going to tell? What comedians am I going to listen to? What places am I going to go? See, you see what I'm talking about? We got the old sweaty stuff still on. We're trying to cover up with this new behavior, and it's just not working out. I've got to put off the old and put on the new. And then I've got a bonus for you. Don't you love bonus things, right? You didn't pay for this, okay? All right, number five, here we go. Number five, practice preemptive grace. Say it with me, practice preemptive grace. Now he's talking about us and our families, our marriages, our friendships, our church. Read the verse with me. Make allowance for each other's faults. So you've probably been wondering why this umbrella is up here. Well, I think it's important in a way that you have an umbrella with you every day, okay? Because if you have an umbrella with you every day, you'll always be prepared for a rain shower, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. You're so focused today. It's just like, yeah. And, you know, the sun is shining. If you have a haircut like mine, okay? All right? And you want to avoid skin cancer and a bad sunburn, you know, when that sun is out, you're always ready for it, right? And birds do fly over your head. And birds do poop. And sometimes you are the recipient of that, right? So your umbrella, right? You're preemptive with the umbrella. You're always ready. Well, guess what? We need preemptive grace because you know what? People are going to do things. They're going to say things. They're going to verbally poop on you. Some of you say, I can't believe he's talking like that in church, but you'll remember it. But they will. Someone's going to say something, another believer, your spouse is going to say something, your spouse is going to do something, a friend is going to say something, a friend is going to do something. There's stuff that's going to happen to you, and having preemptive grace is your way of saying, I'm prepared for it, I expect it, and my response is going to be like Jesus. Because I've thought about it ahead of time. I'm going to make allowance for your carnality. I hope you make an allowance for mine. And together, Paul says, become truly the body of Christ, practicing the mind of Christ. Makes sense? Now, part of me hates to leave you with this because it's like, I want to take you again through each of these steps and flesh them out, which hopefully, if I get the website up, we'll do. But I do want to leave you with a very practical tool. A man by the name of Dr. Lee Warren. Dr. Lee Warren is a neurosurgeon, and he's an amazing follower of Jesus. He's also an author, and he's got this podcast called Self Brain Surgery. It has been immensely helpful to me personally. Marcia and I heard him speak several months ago. We're very moved by what he did. I've been listening to the podcast, been reading his book. He brings science and faith together like no one else I know. And he writes out a personal tragedy, having lost his 19-year-old son to just very mysterious, tragic circumstances. And he writes about it. And he talks about how, as a neurosurgeon, as a scientist, he had to deal with the effect of this on his mind, and how he came to realize that the mind and the brain are two different things. And I don't know, it's just chock full of great help. So it's W. Lee Warren, wleewarren.com. I encourage you to go there. I encourage you to look at his stuff. I encourage you to check out his podcast. They're just so helpful to take what we've been talking about this month and put it into practice in your own life. Amen? I hope you're excited about tomorrow. You say, why? Tomorrow's Monday. I hope you're excited about tomorrow because tomorrow can be your first day to a new mind, to victory, to overcoming those old thoughts, those old habits, because of who lives in you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your word. And thank you, God, in a hopeless world. Wow, you give us such hope, such amazing hope. Lord, I pray, please, compel us, call us to embrace these truths that we might know and experience the mind of Christ. In his name we pray, amen.